السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. توحید و سنت ڈاٹ کام www.touheed-sunnat.com.
واتقوا اللہ ان اللہ تواب رحیم. وقال النبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اذا اصبح ابن آدم فإن الأعضاء كلها تفكر اللسان فتخور. اتق الله فينا فإنما نحن بك. فإن استقمت استقمنا وجدت وجدنا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن من أربى الربا الاستطالة في إرض المسلم بغير حق. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من يضمن لي ما بين لحيي وما بين فخذي أضمن له الجنة. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن العبد ليتكلم بالكلمة من رضوان الله لا يلقي لها بالا يرفع الله بها درجة. وإن العبد ليتكلم بالكلمة من سخة الله لا يلقي لها بالا يهوي بها في نار جهنم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected علماء, respected elders, my brothers and my sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. First of all, I begin by praising the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I thank you for inviting me to convey the message of Allah and His Messenger Muhammad Rasulullah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts my efforts in conveying the message. And I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts your efforts in listening to the message of Allah and His Messenger Muhammad Rasulullah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And I also thank your Imam and my friend, Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Saab, and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts his efforts in conveying the message of Allah and his Messenger through holding blessed gatherings like this in which blessed people like yourselves participate. And inshaAllah, through gatherings like this, you and I inshaAllah will become the inheritance of the Jannah that Allah has prepared for the Muttaqeen. And I also hope that I see you like this in July, I believe the 20th, the 21st and the 22nd in the Youth Tarbiyah Conference in Kidderminster. It is a blessed gathering and you are blessed people and you both match. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِذَا أَصْبَحَ إِبْنُ آدَمْ, when the son of Adam wakes up, فَإِنَّ الْأَعْضَى كُلَّهَا تُفَكِّرُ اللِّسَانِ, every limb, every part of his body rebukes one organ, rebukes this piece of flesh between your cheeks, the tongue. And all these organs say to the tongue, فَإِسْتَقِ اللَّهَ فِينَا, that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to us. Why? فَإِنْ اسْتَقَمْتَ اسْتَقَمْنَا, if you are right, then we shall also be right. وَإِنْ اِعْوَجَدْتَ اِعْوَجَدْنَا, perchance if you go astray, then we will also go astray. Why? فَإِنَّمَا نَحْنُ بِكْ, that we follow you. You are in charge and we are the slaves. Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu once asked Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ki ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ki O Messenger of Allah, ayyul a'mali afdal, that out of all the deeds that one can do after the fara'id, after those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made compulsory upon a Muslim? Which is the deed that the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves most of all? Which is the deed that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Which is the deed that can be considered as being the most superior deed after the fara'is? As-salatu ba'da as-salati al-mafruza? O Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after one observes his five daily prayers, Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, is it to observe the optional prayers? Are these the most rewarding deeds after the fara'is? To observe the duha, the awabin, the tahajjud? Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, La wa ni'imma hiya. This is not the best of all deeds and the most rewarding deed after the fara'is. Yet what you have mentioned is a very good deed. It is very good and a lot, and it's rewarding to pray the tahajjud and to pray the awabin and to pray the tash, the duha. He asked on Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ja'as-sawmu ba'da siyami Ramadan? O Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if it is not optional prayer, then after the fasting in the month of Ramadan, is it to observe the optional fast? Yet again Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, La wa na'imma hiya. This is also a good deed, but it's not the most virtuous and the most rewarding after the fara'is. He asked O Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَأَصَّدَقَ بَعْدِ صَدَقَةِ الْمَفْرُوضَ. If it is not even optional fast, after one pays his zakat, is it to donate in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make massages or help the poor? Yet again, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَلَّا وَنَعِمْ مَحْيَا. No. This is not the most rewarding deed, though what you have mentioned is a very good deed and a very virtuous deed. Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَأَيُّ الْأَعْمَالِ أَفْضَلِ. I've mentioned three deeds. After the fara'id prayer, you've said it is not the optional prayer. After the siyam of Ramadan, you've said it is not the optional fast. After zakat, you said it is not the optional sadaqah. O Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if these are not the most virtuous deeds, which deed is the most virtuous and the most rewarding? Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, كَفَ أَخْرَجَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لِسَانَهُ ثُمَّ وَضَعْ إِسْبُ عَلَيْهِ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took out his blessed tongue, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed one of his fingers onto his tongue. And Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu uttered the words, Inna lillahi wa inna ilahi raji'un. And u'akhaz bima naqul wa yuktub alayna. O Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will we be held to account what we utter? And everything that we utter, everything that comes out of this mouth, will it be written against us? Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam parried Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu on his shoulders a few times. And said, سَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا مُعَاذِ هَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. O Mu'adh, on the day of judgment, people will not be thrown on their faces in the fire of hell except on account of the produce of their tongues. This is the tongue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created many things. Allah said, Kun, come into being. And these things came into being. Yet man is one creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah didn't create with kalime kun, with the word be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such respect he has for man, that the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him with his very own hands. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَكْوِينَ. That we have created man in the best stature. This is why, look at us. Every limb is perfect. Not a centimeter too big, not a centimeter too small. Every organ that the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is perfect. It's unique. It's ajeeb. Look at the heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. A small organ. Yet it pumps and beats 100,000 times in one day without man even realizing. And the blood that this heart pumps into the body is on a 60,000 miles journey. The lungs that Allah has given us, we inhale 2 million liters of air every day without even realizing that we are inhaling this air. The eyes that Allah has given us, we can distinguish up to 1 million color surfaces. And these eyes can take in more information than any great telescope known to man. The ears that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, we can distinguish hundreds and thousands of sounds, different sounds. The brain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, so small, yet it is more complex than any computer. And it has over 100 billion nerve cells. Then every day we give birth to 100 billion red cells. The sense of touch that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is better than any device that has been ever created. The nose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is our own air conditioning system. It warms cold air and it cools hot air and it clears away the impurities. On 1 square inch on our hand, we have 9 feet of blood vessels and over 6,000 nerve endings. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and I. Every limb is ajeeb. Every limb is perfect. And this may sound fascinating, but the most unique organ is this piece of flesh that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed between our cheeks, the tongue. So powerful and so ajeeb that you just utter one word, and it will take you and raise you and elevate your stages in paradise. And you only have to utter one word, and you will find that your abode is asfalu safilin, right in the depth of hell. Nobody knows the outcome of his deeds till he meets the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can live a life of obedience all your life. All your life you can pray. Even then, you do not know whether on the day of judgment your abode will be Jannah or whether your abode will be the fire of hell. You can live a life of obedience. You can observe your 5 daily prayers from the day you were baligh to the day you die. You can observe the fast of Ramadan from the day you are baligh till the day you die. You can do every good deed that you can think of. You can go for Hajj every year, year in, year out. You can go for Umrah 10 times a year. You can help the poor and you can build 1,000 masajid. But at the same time, you can do one deed which you think nothing of. But this one deed on the day of judgment will prove so fatal that the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will overlook the good deeds that you have done and throw you into the fire of hell. And on the other hand, you can commit sin all your life. You can lie. You can cheat. You can gamble. You can fornicate. You can commit adultery. You can take and give interest. Every sin in the book. But at the same time, you can do one good deed. One good deed which you don't even consider a deed. But this one good deed may prove so fatal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Almighty Allah may overlook all your sins, and because of this one deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that you are becoming the inheritor of His Jannah. Open the book, Sahih al-Bukhari. It says, "Uzibat imra'atun fi hirratin sajanatha." A woman, she had a cat. She kept this cat tied. She would not feed this cat. She would not give it food and she would not give it drink. And nor would she release this cat, so that this cat can eat the creatures of the earth. And she kept this cat tied till this cat died. One sin, and you'd say it was only an animal. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that she is receiving punishment in the fire of hell. كان الكفل من بني إسرائيل لا يتورأ من ذنب عمله. Kifl from amongst the Bani Israel would not refrain from sin. Every sin you can think of, he committed. And he would do this day in, day out, throughout his life. One day, a woman came up to him. And she gave him 60 dinar. And he gave her 60 dinar on one condition, that she let him commit sin with her. The hadith states, فَلَمَّا قَعْدَ مِنْهَا مَقْعَدُ الرَّجُلِ مِنْ إِمْرَأَتِهِ أُرْعِدَتْ وَبَكَتْ. She's taken the 60 dinar, and now Kifl is on the verge of committing this sin. And when he is about and on the verge of committing this sin, this woman begins to shake out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and tears begin to flow from her eyes. And he says to her, مَا يُبْكِيكِ. What makes you cry? أَكْرَحْتُكِ. Have I forced you? She replied, La, you haven't forced me. وَلَكِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ مَا عَمِلْتَهُ قَدْتُ. But it's a sin that I've never committed to this date. وَمَا حَمَلَنِي عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا الْحَاجَةِ. And the only reason that I've agreed to commit this sin today is because of poverty. I'm in need. At home we are suffering from starvation. It is because of this today that I have come to you to commit this sin. He said, اذهبي فهي لك. Go, you can keep the 60 dinar. And he said, oh Allah, I promise you from today, Kifl will never commit a sin. The hadith states, فَمَاتَ مِنْ لَيْلَتِهِ. Kifl died that very night. One good deed. And in the morning, on the door of his house, were written the words, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ غَفَرَ لِلْكِفْلِ. Allah has forgiven Kifl. Nobody knows the outcome of his deeds. Yusuf ibn Hussein al-Radi al-Sufi was seen in a dream. He was asked, مَا فَعَلَ اللَّهُ بِكَ. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do with you? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed mercy and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave me. He was asked, بِمَاذَا, what did you do that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave you? He says, بِكَلِمَاتٍ قُلْتُهَا عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ. I said a few words at the time of my death. And just because of these words that I'd said at the time of my death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave me. And the words that I'd said at the time of my death were, Allahumma nasahtu an-nasa qawlan wa khuntu nafsi fi'lan. Allahumma habli khiyanata nafsi li nasihati qawli. 5-6 words. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave me. The narrator says that a person was seen in a dream. And yet again he was asked, okay, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do with you? And he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me stand in front of him, and Allah said, Ya Shaykh al-Su, O evil man, do you know why that I have forgiven you today? He said, by Allah, no, I do not know why you have forgiven me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, one day, there must have been a gathering like this. He said, you were addressing the people. And while you were addressing the people, there was a servant of mine in that gathering. Prior to that day, this servant of mine never shed a tear. On that day, out of my fear, this servant of mine for the first time shed a tear. Because of that one tear, I forgave him, I forgave you, and I forgave all those that were participating in that covering. Nobody knows the outcome of his deeds. Imam Bukhari relates and Abu Shaykh in Kitab al-Tawbiq on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala an, that a pious servant, not a normal servant, a pious servant from amongst the servants of Allah, when he died, the order was passed that he be lashed 100 times. The punishment of the grave, 100 times. He begged for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy till this punishment was reduced to just one lash. One lash in the grave, and he fell unconscious and the grave was full of fire. When he came around, he said to the angels, why have I been punished today? I used to observe the fara'is, and I used to enjoin good and forbid evil, and I spent my time doing good, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and conveying the message of Allah. Why have I received punishment today? And the angels replied, only on one occasion, only on one occasion, you prayed salah without wuzu, without even realizing.
Yeah.
And you passed by a person that was being oppressed, and you turned your face and you kept on walking, because of this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has grabbed hold of you today. A final example. Muhammad ibn Salim relates that I saw the great Yahya ibn Aktham al-Qazi in my dream. I posed the same question, كَمَا فَعَلَ اللَّهُ بِكَ. But what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do with you? He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me stand in front of him. And the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O evil man, if it had not been for your white hair and your old age, then I would have thrown you into the fire of hell. He says, when I heard the words of the Almighty Allah, shaking, shivering, I fainted before him. When I came round, when I gained consciousness, yet again the Almighty Allah is saying, Ya Shaykh al-Su, O evil man, if it had not been for your white hair and your old age, then I would have thrown you into the fire of hell. Yahya ibn Aksum al-Qazi says, when I heard the words of the Almighty, shivering, shaking, I fainted. I come round for the third time, and Allah is saying exactly the same words. Oh Yahya, if it had not been for your white hair and your old age, then I would have thrown you into the fire of hell. He says, when I gained consciousness on the fourth time, I said, oh Allah, I wasn't told, I wasn't informed, I wasn't told that you will be like this. I was informed other things, people told me other things about you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, though he knew, he asked, oh Yahya, tell me what people told you about me. So he related a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abdul Razzaq informed me. Ma'mar ibn Rashid informed Abdul Razzaq. Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri informed Ma'mar ibn Rashid. Anas ibn Malik informed him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed Anas ibn Malik. And Sayyidina Jibra'il informed your Nabi that you, the Almighty Allah, said, مَا شَابَ لِي عَبْدٌ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ شَيْبَةً إِلَّا اسْتَحْيَيْتُ مِنْهُ أَنْ أُعَذِّبَهُ بِالنَّارِ. No servant of mine becomes old as a Muslim except me, the Almighty Allah, are ashamed to punish him with the fire of hell. The Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Abdul Razzaq has spoken the truth. Ma'mar ibn Rashid spoke the truth. Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri spoke the truth. Anas ibn Malik spoke the truth. My Nabi, my Habib, has spoken the truth. Sayyidina Jibra'il spoken the truth. Yes, I, the Almighty Allah, has said, مَا شَابَ لِي أَبْدٌ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ شَيْبَةً إِلَّا اسْتَحْيَيْتُ أَنْ أُعَذِّبَهُ بِالنَّارِ. Go, you are free. Go, you have become the inheritor of Jannah. Nobody knows the outcome of his deeds. You can commit sin all your life, but you could commit one good deed which you thought nothing of. But that one good deed could please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that He can give you a Jannah 100 times bigger than this dunya. And you can do good deeds all your life, and you can appear as if you are a muttaqi, as if you are a sufi, but you can commit one sin which you thought nothing of, which you thought that the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold you account for this one deed, but this one good, one evil deed could prove so fatal that in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will hold you account to it and throw you into the fire of hell in the depths of hell. And this organ that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed between our cheeks is exactly the same. It is no different. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ. That a servant of Allah sometimes utters one word. And how many times we do this? مِنْ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ. A word from the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, words that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he said this word, لَا يُلْكِ لَهَا بَالًا. He didn't think much of this word. He didn't know how valuable this word was. But it was so valuable in the eyes of Allah, يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَرَجَاتِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already given him such a state and elevated his ranks in Jannah. And on the same time, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that many a time a person utters a word. And he doesn't, and this word is from the displeasure of Allah. He doesn't know how much this word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala detests. And how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates this word. Yet he's uttered it and he thinks nothing of it. Yet because of this one word, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided that he will go into the depths of hell. Let me give you an example of how powerful this tongue is. How powerful these words are that we utter. We don't even realize what we say. This is why we do not know what we're on about. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that on the night of Mi'raj, I saw an ocean. And this ocean was so big, that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the limits of this ocean. And on the side of this ocean, was an angel, taking the form of a bird. And when a person says, Subhanallah, this angel moves from its place. When a person says, Alhamdulillah, the angel opens its wings. And the angel has 70,000 wings, and the angel opens 70,000 wings. When he says, Allah, wa la ilaha illallah, this angel begins to fly. When he says, Allahu Akbar, the angel dives inside the ocean. And when he says, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ, the angel comes out of the water and it flaps its wings. 70,000 wings. From every wing, 70,000 drops of water fall. From every drop of water, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates one angel. From every drop of water, 70,000 drops of water, 70,000 wings. From every drop, Allah creates an angel, and this angel glorifies the Almighty Allah, and this angel keeps on asking Allah to forgive him right till the day of judgment. Yet it takes not even 2 seconds to say these words. When a person says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, Allah has created a pillar next to the arsh. And soon as a servant of Allah utters this word, this pillar begins to shake in front of the Almighty Allah. The Almighty Allah says to the pillar, Uskun, stay firm, do not move. The pillar says, Oh Allah, how can I stay firm when the sayer of this word has not been forgiven? Allah says, stay firm, now the sayer of this word has been forgiven. How long does it take to say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah? We're uttering these words at this moment in time, and this pillar is shaken in front of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to the hadith of Tabrani, Subhanallah wa bihamdi will not even take a second. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 124,000 deeds are written in his account. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, and the angels have written them. When a person says, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, أَحَدًا سَمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. It takes 3-4 seconds, and the angels, according to the hadith of Tabrani, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the angels have written 2 million deeds in his account. 2 million deeds! Today you and I, we have no time for the small things in life. We're thinking about big things, big battle. Yet it will be these things that will help us tomorrow on the day of judgment. 2 seconds of effort by this tongue, and the angels are writing 2 million deeds in your account. Look at the word, the kalima. A person can commit sin all his life. He can commit shirk, kufr all his life, and he can commit every sin that you can think of. Lying, cheating, gambling, fornication, adultery, taking tools, giving tools. He utters this kalima just once in the state of iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives all his forgives all his previous sins. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was once taking a walk. He's taking a walk and he passes by an old man. So old that his body has become like this. He's become bent. And in front of this old man is a fire. And he is prostrating and worshipping this fire. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam says to this old man, منذ كم تعبد هذه النار؟ O old man, for how long have you been worshipping this fire and prostrating and bowing before it? And he replied, O Musa, for 490 years I have been committing the sin of shirk and prostrating before this fire. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam said, كَأَلَمْ يَأْنِ لَكْ أَن تَتُوبَ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ النَّارِ وَتَعُودَ إِلَى الْمَلِكِ الْجَبَّارِ. Hasn't the time come that you leave the worship of fire and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, the one who accepts the repentance? And he asked, O Musa salatu wa salam, that will your Allah accept me if I turn to him? And will he forgive my sin? And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam said, كَيْفَ لَا يَقْبَلُكُ وَأَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. How will Allah not accept you, yet he is the most merciful and the most kind of all? He said, O Musa, if you know that your Allah will accept me, then present your deen to me. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam recites the kalima, say la ilaha illallah, Musa Rasulullah, there is no God worthy of worship, and truly Moses is the messenger of Allah. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. The old man utters these words, and out of happiness for Islam, the old man screams, he faints, and his ruh, his soul, leaves his body, and he's finished. Now he dies, and Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam buries him, and leaves his janazah, buries him, and then Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam stands next to his grave, and prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, tell me, كيف آمنت هذا العبد بتوحيد واحد؟ O Allah, I want to know that this person who has been committing shirk, there is no sin bigger than shirk. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرْ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرْ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لَمَن يَشَاءُ. It is a sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forgive. O Allah, this person has been committing sin for 490 years of his life. And he's uttered La ilaha illallah, Musa Rasulullah, just once he's uttered Kalima Tawheed just before he's left this world. Tell me how you have dealt with this person. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam descends from the heavens and he says, O Musa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends his salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Musa, do you not know that whoever makes sulah with us, whoever makes peace with us, with the kalima La ilaha illallah, Musa Rasulullah, how we deal with him, and how we make him close to us, and how we make him wear the clothes of Jannah. For every letter of that kalima, 27 years of this old man was forgiven. Thus, because of this one kalima, 490 years of his sins have been forgiven, and he is now roaming around in the gardens of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the power of this piece of flesh that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put between your cheeks and inside your mouth. This is when it is used in the positive manner. Its power is limitless. You cannot measure its power. When this piece of flesh is used in the negative manner, then your salah will not help you. Your fasting will not help you. Your helping others will not help you. Your zakat will not help you. Your hajj will not help you. Your umrah will not help you. Nothing will help you. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed that a woman, after observing her fara'is, she was known for observing her nawafil. Tahajjud awwabin, she was a regular. At the same time, she was told that her tongue is sharper than a sword. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, forget a salah, forget a fasting, forget a worship, she's in the fire of hell. Two people from amongst the Bani Israel, one a worshipper, 24/7 he's standing before the Almighty Allah, and the other 24/7 he is breaking the laws of Allah and he is committing sin. And this worshipper is always humiliating him and he's disgracing him in front of people because of his sin. And one day this worshipper becomes so sick, so fed up of him, that he says to him, that you are going to enter, by Allah, you are going to enter the fire of hell. You are never going to enter Jannah. These are the only words that he uttered out of anger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disliked these words so much. Who are you to say this? And Allah decided that he goes to hell, and the sinner Allah forgives and puts him inside Jannah. This is when this tongue is used in the negative manner. And today, I feel that the words which will benefit us in the next life, the words which will help us on the day of judgment, we seem to utter these words very less in comparison to the words which may prove fatal on the day of judgment. Words which may take us right into the depths of hell. And I'll give you an example. Just walk down some street and listen to a few brothers talking amongst themselves. Brothers, Muslims. And they will be friends, four or five of them will be talking to one another. Muslim brothers, friends. I guarantee you, 5 out of every 10 words will be a swear. 5 out of every 10. And I'm not talking about just the 15, 16, 17 or the 20 year olds. Our children, as young as 7 and 8, have begun to talk in exactly the same manner. Walk down some street and you will see this is the way the youngsters are speaking. 5 out of every 10 words will be a swear. And it's not even considered a sin. Balki we believe it beautifies the language. Balki they believe it makes them feel big. It makes them feel hard, superior. And the one that does not swear is classed as being inferior. Then there's teching mick. I'm sure you all know what teching mick means. Of course you do. Walk down the street. 4 or 5 brothers talking to one another. And this takes place. 4 or 5, and you'll pick on one amongst you. And you will joke about him. You will laugh at him. You will ridicule him. And you will criticize him. Yet again, we don't think it's a sin. And you probably say, what are you talking about? We're just having a laugh. We're just having a giggle. Nobody's offended. Surely Islam's not against having a laugh. Everybody does it. He does it to me sometimes, and sometimes we gang up on somebody else, and this is how we pass time. You're right, Islam's not against having a laugh. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran says, "Fi Rasulillahi uswatun hasana," that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best of examples for everybody. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't serious 24/7. It's not that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be serious with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een 24 hours a day, 7 days a week throughout his life and just recite the Quran to them. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't like this. Yes, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would laugh, open the books of ahadith, and Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates that once a man came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, halaft, that I've been destroyed." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked this person, "Kima sha'nuk? Why are you worried? What's the matter? What has happened? Relate what has happened." And the man said, "O Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, waqa'tu ala imra'ati fi Ramadan. I was fasting. And in this month of Ramadan, I have committed a sin by breaking my fast by coming to my wife." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is not a problem. We can solve this problem. فَهَلْ تَجِدْ رَقَبَةً تُعْتِكْ? Do you have a slave which you can free? He said, "O Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have no slave." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "If that's the case, فَهَلْ تَسْتَطِي أَن تَصُومَ شَهَرَيْنِ مُتَتَابِعِينَ? You have no slave that you can free. Can you fast for 2 consecutive months? He said, "O Messenger of Allah, by Allah, no. 1 month was difficult. Now to fast for 2 consecutive months would be asking for too much. If I've committed this sin once in 1 month, Allah knows How many times I will commit this sin unintentionally in 2 months? I cannot do this. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahabi, sit. And he sat in the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as time passed, a Sahabi came with a tray full of dates. And he presented them to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took these dates and gave them to this person. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَصَدَّقْ بِهِ. Go take these dates and distribute them amongst the fuqara, amongst the people. Said, O Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, you have given me these dates, but who shall I give them to? In the whole of Medina, there is nobody more poor than me. There is nobody more in need of me. There is nobody that is suffering of starvation more than me. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the dates and said, you eat them and you give them to your family. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to laugh till the sanaya.
Can the brothers near the door, can you come forward? There's brothers sitting on the stairway, please. Can the brothers near the door, can you come move forward, please? There's brothers sitting on the stairway.
Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to laugh till the sanaya, till the teeth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became visible. That he's come having committed a sin. Not just an ordinary sin, a big sin in the month of Ramadan. And he has taken away a tray full of dates for him and his family. Once an old woman came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, Ud'u Allah an yudkhilani al-jannah. O Messenger of Allah, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me Jannah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, joking with this old woman, said, كَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةِ لَا تَدْخُلُهَا عَجُوزٍ. The old women are not going to enter Jannah. And this old woman began to cry. As she left, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba to go touch her. Because she will not enter Jannah as an old woman. Because the Almighty Allah says, إِنَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُنَّ إِنْشَاءً فَدَعَلْنَاهُنَّ أَبْكَارَ أُرْبًا أَتْرَابًا. In Jannah there will be no old woman. Everybody that will enter Jannah will be younger, and she will enter Jannah in this state. Once a Sahabi had pain in his eyes. His eyes were troubling him. One of his eyes. And he was eating dates. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, just when a person is sick, he normally doesn't eat. He doesn't like to eat. And this Sahabi is eating dates, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam jokingly says to him, yeah, how come you're eating these dates, yet your eye is hurting? He says, oh Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm eating from the corner of the other eye. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begins to laugh. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it wasn't just one-sided, that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would joke with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een now and then. The Sahaba would joke with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now and then, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would participate in their jokes. He would appreciate their laughter, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would laugh with them. And just one example, Hazrat Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha relates that a year before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, before he passed away, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu left for a business trip. Accompanied by with some Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'een, there were the Sahabas Hazrat Suwaybit ibn Harmala and Hazrat Nu'ayman radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. Now Hazrat Suwaybit radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a very jolly person. Hazrat Nu'ayman was in charge of the food. Hazrat Suwaybit felt hungry and he asked Hazrat Nu'ayman to give him some food. He refused. But I will not give you any food till Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Amir of this Jama'ah, till he returns and he gives permission. If he gives this permission, then I will greatly give you food. There's not a problem, I'll take care of you. Now they're walking. As they're walking, they pass a group of people. And Sayyidina Suwaybit ibn Harmala goes to these people and say to them, كِتَشْتَرُونَ مِنِّي عَبْدًا. Would you like to buy a slave from me? This slave's very good. And he's very cheap. I'll sell you to him very cheap. The only problem with this slave is, it's just a minor fault, that he believes he's free. And he'll tell you that he's free, but in reality he's a slave. Now, Hazrat Suwaybit ibn Harmala sells Hazrat Nu'ayman, and they come and they purchase Hazrat Nu'ayman, and they put a rope around his neck, and they begin to drag Hazrat Nu'aiman. Now Hazrat Nu'aiman says to the people that he's only joking. I'm not a slave, I'm a free man. And the people say, we were expecting this, this is why we purchased you cheap. This is the only fault you have, and we can live by this. It was only when Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu returns that Hazrat Nu'aiman was able to free himself. Now this is the incident that took place. And when the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'een returned to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they related this incident with them. And Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam listened to this. Not only did he listen to this, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith states, he and his family laughed at this for 1 year. Meaning that every time it was mentioned, or every time it came to mind, this incident, there would be a smile on Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face, and there would be a smile on the faces of the Azwaj Mutahharat, on the faces of our mothers. So you're right. Islam is not against having a laugh. Islam is not against having a giggle now and then. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember, he didn't do this 24/7. Just like we do in our circles when we get together. Then we crack jokes, it continues for hours. Or we listen to it on tape for hours. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not do this 24/7. Why? فَإِنَّهُ يُمِيتُ الْقَلْبَ وَيَزْحَبُ بِنُورِ الْوَجْهِ. Because too much laughter kills the heart. And it takes away the nur of a believer. It takes away the nur on your faces. At the same time, when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam joked, or cracked a joke, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would speak the truth. لَا أَقُولُ إِلَّا حَقَّ. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wouldn't make up lies as we do just to make our friends laugh and to please them. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never make up lies. And at the same time, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his jokes wouldn't hurt a soul. He wouldn't offend anybody. He wouldn't ridicule anybody. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wouldn't criticize anybody. And Islam being a beautiful deen, if somebody follows the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is joking, even in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's laughter, and now and then, with his wife, with his children, with his friends, cracks a joke in the manner Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, with the conditions Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him. Having said this, taking mick is not a thing that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And it is not a thing that the Quran commits. Open the book of Allah, it says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّنْ قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّنْ نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. The Quran doesn't allow you to do this. You know, we think we're just having a giggle, we're just having a laugh. But remember the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَ مِنْ سَخَطِ اللَّهِ لَا يُلْقِي لَهَا بَالًا يَحْوِي بِهَا فِي جَهَنَّمْ. We think we're having a laugh. We think we're having a giggle, there's nothing wrong with it. But that one word may prove so fatal on the day of judgment, that because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided that your abode will be the depths of hell. Why? Because when we are taking mick, we are ridiculing somebody. We are taking faults. We are making fun. We are criticizing. And because we are never on the receiving end, we don't realize. But believe me, when you are on the receiving end, you will realize how awful this thing is. Because from taking mick, the other person counterattacks. And he says a few things. Then this leads on to an argument, onto a quarrel, onto a fight. And fights lead to big things as far as death. And yet, it started from a thing that we don't even consider a sin. Then, when we normally take mick out of a person, it's normally those that are considered weak in society. Those that can't stand up for themselves. Those that we class as inferior. But who knows who is inferior and who is superior? The very person that we are ridiculing, the very person that we are criticizing, Allah knows best how superior this person will prove to be on the day of judgment. You've all heard of Ubayd Qarni rahmatullahi alayh. Ubayd Qarni rahmatullahi alayh, his own family, used to think Uwais al-Qarni rahmatullah alayhi was insane. They had their own house and they made a special room for Uwais al-Qarni rahmatullah alayhi. And Uwais al-Qarni rahmatullah alayhi would live inside this room with his mother. And he took good care of his mother and he sacrificed the sighting of Rasulullah and the status of Sahabiyat because of his mother. Now he would live inside this room. And the narration goes that sometimes a year, and sometimes years would pass, and his own family would not see Uwais al-Qarni, or they would not know where he is. This was Uwais al-Qarni rahmatullahi alayh. His clothes on his body, they were torn. You would find patches on his clothes, and Allahu Akbar, even these, he would donate in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he would stay locked inside his house, to the extent sometimes he would be naked and he would not have clothes to wear to go for the Jummah prayer. And during the day, Uwais al-Qarni rahmatullah alayhi would fast. He would fast and come, and during the day he would pick up date seeds from the floor. He would gather these date seeds from the floor, and come iftari time he would sell these, and whatever little he got with this he would make iftar. And when he could not find date seeds, he would, the crumbs that people have thrown on the floor, he would take these crumbs and he would use these for iftar, and he would also share these crumbs with others. And his friends would laugh at him. And his friends would joke and take the mick. But little did they know that in the heavens, the angels would talk about this person. He looked like a poor person. He looked inferior. But in the heavens, the angels will talk about this person. When Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, goes for Hajj, he addresses the people and he tells them all to sit down except those that have come from Yemen. They all sit down. Then he says, all of you sit down except for those that have come from the tribe of Qarn. They all sit down except for one person, and that is the uncle of Uwais al-Qarni rahmatullah alayh. The great Umar Farooq asks, do you know who Uwais al-Qarni rahmatullahi alayhi is? His uncle replies to Amir al-Mu'mineen, I know him. But why would such a great person like you want to know about Uwais al-Qarni? There is nobody more foolish, nobody more insane, and nobody more in need than this person. In the whole of Qarn, in the whole of Yemen. Tears began to flow from Sayyidina Umar Farooq's eyes. And Sayyidina Umar Farooq said, Bika la bihi, you may be like this, but this person is not like this. Why? Because Umar Farooq knew that such is the status of this person that when he raised his hands, the heavens open. There is no barrier between him and Allah. لَوْ أَقْسَمَ أَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّهُ. There and then, the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers his prayer. Umar Farooq knew that he is the person through whose intercession hundreds and thousands of people will enter Jannah tomorrow. Umar Farooq knew that he is the person regarding whom Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the great Umar Farooq. Umar Farooq was that person who writes a letter to the River Nile and the River Nile begins to flow. Uwais al-Qarni is that person that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Umar Farooq, فَإِنْ اِسْتَطَعْتَ أَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرَ لَكْ فَفْعَلْ. O Umar, if you are able to meet this person and if you can get him to pray for you and ask Allah to forgive you, O Umar, go and meet this person and ask him to pray for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promised Allah will forgive you. This was Uwais al-Qarni rahmatullah alayh. And those that take mick, on the day of judgment, Allah will play the same game with them. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a door will be opened towards Jannah. And those that used to take mick in dunya, they will be called halumma, halumma, come towards Jannah, come towards Jannah. Tired, sweating, crying, screaming, shouting. When they see this door of Jannah, when they see this light, they will run towards this door of Jannah. When they finally get to this door of Jannah, the door will be shut. Now, the angels will call, another door of Jannah will be open. Halumma, halumma, come, come. They will turn around, and when they see this door of Jannah open, tired, screaming, crying, they will run towards this door of Jannah. And when they run towards this Jannah, they will find that the door is closed. And the angels will keep on playing this game with them right till the end. And today, you and I, we don't even consider it a sin. And it's so common that we all do it now and then. In a group, we are all committing this sin without even realizing that it's committing this sin. And we are concerned about many things. We are concerned about the big things. And these little things don't bother us. And it is these little things that will make a difference on the day of judgment. It will be either Jannah, It will be either Jannah. One word can take you to Jannah, and one word can take you to the fire of hell. We need to decide where that one word is going to take us. I came planned to talk about many different evils of the tongue. Unfortunately, I've only been able to talk about one evil. Allah give me the tawfiq, we will talk about this another time. And the reason I came today was to invite you to the Youth Tarbiyah Conference. And I hope that you will all come and benefit from this blessed gathering where great ulama will participate. And at the same time as I was coming in, I saw that the plans of this masjid have been drawn up and they've been passed. And mashaAllah, having looked at these plans, I found them to be superb plans. And the way that the masjid has been designed, Allah accept the effort of the Muslims and those brothers especially that are working towards this. That this masjid is built. Remember, you don't know which deed that Allah is going to accept. And don't wait till tomorrow that you're going to do a deed. You might not be around tomorrow. You might not be around today. I might not be around after a few minutes. We need to do these deeds while we can. And if Allah has given us the tawfiq, and if Allah has given us this time to do these good deeds, why don't we participate in these and make these things possible? Building Jannahs here, will we building Jannahs? Will we building masajid and the houses of Allah in this life? Will we building houses of Allah in the next life? When the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een got opportunity to do these good deeds, they wouldn't wait for tomorrow. Just one hadith from the top of my head. Ghazwa Tabuk. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a gathering like this is asking the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala an majma'in to donate. Umar says that when I heard the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I was overjoyed. Why? Because this Abu Bakr, he always used to beat me in doing these good deeds. Look at the mentality. We have rivalry in committing sin, in having big cars, in having bigger houses, bigger businesses. And Sayyidina Umar Farooq is thinking about good deeds. Okay, this Abu Bakr is always beating me in doing good deeds. I, Umar, have wealth today, and I will show this Abu Bakr what Umar is made out of. He goes home and he tells his wife, distribute everything we possess into two equal parts. She distributes everything they possess into two equal parts. He comes carrying his load. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees Umar with his load, he says, Umar, ma abkayta li ahlik. Umar, what have you bought for Allah and His Messenger, and what have you left for your family? Overjoyed, he replies, Ya Rasulullah, abkaytu lahu mislahu. O Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I distributed it into half of the family. Half today I have brought for Allah and His Messenger. He's overjoyed that today I've beaten Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr now goes, he goes home to his family, my brothers, and he tells his family, whatever you have, give me it. He comes carrying his load. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees Abu Bakr from a distance, yet again Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls Abu Bakr, ma abkayta li ahlik. O Abu Bakr, tell me, what have you brought for me, and what have you left for your family? And Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala replies, O Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherever Abu Bakr possessed, wherever these hands possessed, today I have brought it all for Allah and His Messenger, and I have left Allah and His Messenger Muhammad Rasulullah to take care of my family and with my family. Umar says, from that day I realized I will never be able to beat this person. I will never be able to surpass Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala in doing good deeds. Our mentality should be exactly the same. Whether we can do it or not, that's a different thing. At least we need to make an intention and move into the in a positive manner. Maybe Allah will accept this one thing. Who knows? If you are sincere, if you are pure from within, He knows what is inside here. Allah knows. And waqi, if it's pure, then the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can accept that one thing, and the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you Jannah. Allah give me the tawfiq to ask upon what I said, and Allah give you the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.